connection between the Haftorah and this coming week's Sedra and Zion Adar. Okay, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu's name does not appear in this coming week's Sedra. It's the only Sedra, except in Sefer Devarim or in Sefer Bereishis, the only Sedra after Moshe Rabbeinu was born that his name isn't mentioned in the Torah. Okay? And it should be. It should say somewhere in Tetzavai, right? Abra Hashem or Moshe Limor. It doesn't. It keeps kind of referring to him as Atah. You. You command. You do this. You take your brother Aaron. His name's not mentioned. And there are various ideas given. One is that Parshas Tetzavai always coincides with Zion Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu's Yortzeit. So to commemorate that, God took his name out of the Sedra, which is the always falls in the week of his Yortzeit. That's nice. Cute. But it can't be, because the Sedras are a much later custom. And originally, in Eretz Israel, they finished the Torah every 3 years, not every year. And the Sedras were only a third of what they are now. What we have as one Sedra was three Sedras. So it didn't work out that Tetzaveh was always Zion Adar. It only works out in a system where every year we finish the Torah. So that's a cute idea, but it can't be the major idea why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not in Tetzaveh. Then they say another idea. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Kisisa said, if you destroy the Jewish people because of the sin of the golden calf, then mecheni no mitifrucha, erase me from your book. And even though the Gemara says, erase me from your book, means from the book of the righteous, the book of the living, in those three books that are open on Rosh Hashanah, some say that it means the book of the Torah. Moshe said, I don't want my name mentioned in the Torah if the Jewish people are going to be destroyed. I'm a failure. I don't want my name mentioned. I am totally negated to the Jewish people. If they don't exist, then I don't want to exist. So therefore, whatever a tzaddik says, even though it's unconditioned, God fulfills what he says. So he said, blot my name out of the Torah, even though God didn't destroy the Jewish people, but he blotted his name out of one sedra in the Torah. Why dafka parsha tzaddik? Why that parsha? So they say also very cutely that God said, okay, Parshas Ki Tisa is where Moshe said this. So God said, okay, I have to block Moshe's name out of one sedra. But let's leave it for a while. Not next week. Not Vayakra. Not Bikudei. Not Vayikra. Not Sat. We're not going to go through the whole Torah. He kept pushing it off week after week. I don't want to block Moshe's Rabbeinu's name out of this sedra. Let's leave it. What was the last week before you started again from Ki Tisa is Tetzaveh. So that was the last chance. So God said, okay, no choice. This is the sedra. I have to leave his name out. It was the last one in the cycle. Okay, excuse me. I want to tell you something more significant, why Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear in Parshas Tetzaveh. And along the same lines, but not the same idea, because there's another problem here. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to sacrifice himself for the Jewish people. He's punished, and his name is obliterated from the Torah, from a Parsha. Doesn't make sense. Why should he be punished for that? So let me tell you what I think. And it gives us an idea also of what service to God is. So now we discuss the purpose of a mikdash. Next week's Sedra discusses the Kohanim. They are the people who serve in the mikdash. What's their function? What's the function of the servants in the mikdash, which also gives us an idea of what service to God, what avoda is, which is this ikker, in case you forgot, that's what we're talking about, the fifth ikker, that God, only God deserves to be served. So let's go back a little bit. And we'll try to condense this so we can finish it today. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was offered the mission of redeeming the Jewish people, refused for all different kinds of excuses, and God answered all his excuses until Moshe ran out of excuses, and he said his real reason why he was refusing. Shlach na v'yatishlach. Please, God, I have an older brother, Aaron. Until now, every communication that you had with the Jewish people was through him. And now the big job comes along, the Redeemer, and he's passed over, and you're sending the little brother, me, to do what the big job, and he got all the little jobs. I'm afraid that he's going to be slighted. He's going to feel bad. I don't want to hurt my brother's feelings. So send him, don't send me. Isn't that noble? In fact, the Bali Musar say that we learn from here that it's kedai to negate the entire redemption not to hurt somebody's feelings. Isn't that very noble of Moshe Rabbeinu? So what does God give him for being so noble and not wanting to hurt his brother's feelings and refusing to be the redeemer because he's afraid to hurt his brother's feelings, God punishes him. And he says to him, Aaron Achicha Levi, your brother Aaron should have been the Levi, and you should have been the Kohen. But now, because of this, you're not going to be the Kohen, and your brother's going to be the Kohen. You lost the Kohuna because of it. You can't be a Kohen anymore. Because Moshe was concerned about his brother's feelings. He loses the Kohuna, he's punished. Why should he be punished for such a noble thing? So let me tell you what I think. This famous Maisa with the Rebbe of Zusha. The Rebbe of Zusha, being a Misnaged, I have a big question on this Hasidish Maisa, which Hasidim don't like my question. But I'm going to say it over because the Maisa suits my needs. So I'm going to be a chassid for a little while. And then I'll tell you my misnagdish question on it. The Maisa goes like this. The Rebbe of Zusha was asked if he had the opportunity to change places with Avraham Avinu. He would be Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu would be the Rebbe of Zusha. Would he do it? And he thought a little bit, and he said, no, I wouldn't do it. What would God do? There'd still be one Avraham Avinu and one Rebbe Zusha. I have to be Avraham. Let Avraham be Avraham. God's not going to gain anything from this. Right? If you're going to tell me I'll be Avraham and Avraham will be Avraham, there'll be two Avrahams, yeah, why not? But just that we should switch places, why do I have to be Avraham? Let him be Avraham. What bothers me as a misnagid is they didn't ask Avraham Avinu if he would like to make the trade. They asked Rebbe Zusha. Okay, that's my background. But in any case, the Maisa is a Maisa. What is the idea? The idea is that there are two levels that a person can function on. One is called Yira. I serve God out of fear. Not fear that I'm afraid I'm going to be zapped by a lightning bolt if I don't do what's right. That's a very low level of fear. I'm talking about a higher level of fear, but it's still not the highest level. It's reflected by something that Kotzker Rebbe once said. He saw one of his students saying, you should love God with all your heart, all your soul. He's saying Kriya Shema. And after davening, went over to him and he said, when you said that you love God, did you mean you love God or you mean you love yourself? So the chassid said, I'm saying the act of Hashem. How can I mean I love myself? So I tell you very simply. When a person says he loves Harry, what does he mean? Carries a little fish in his pocket and every once in a while gives it a hug and a kiss. Oh, I love you, Herring. Right? Is that what he means? No, that's not what he means. You know what he means when he says he loves Herring? Herring tastes good. He likes to eat things that taste good. So what you basically are saying is you love yourself. You don't love the Herring. You love to eat Herring because it tastes good. And you love yourself. And you like to give yourself good things to eat. So maybe when you said you love God, that's what you mean. Doing God's service is the best thing for you. So you love yourself, and therefore, to love God is a good thing. But you don't really love God, you love you. That's a very nice level, but it's not the highest level. The level of loving God is love, which means it's directed totally at God, and has nothing to do with me. So there's one level of service where it's good for me, and therefore I want to do it. How the Bible should be on that level, that we come to the conclusion that doing what God wants us to do is best for us. And I'm doing it out of selfish motivation, good selfish motivation, but it's not selfless. Then there's a higher level, being selfless. What Rebbe Zusha said is, oh, I would be very happy to be Avraham Avinu, be good for me, but what would God get out of it? I'm not serving God for my sake, I'm serving God for his sake. And if God would have one Avraham Avinu, one Rebbe Zusha, why do I have to be Avraham Avinu? I'm a soldier in God's army. What difference does it make if I'm the one doing that or somebody else? As long as he's a soldier doing what he has to do, and I'm doing what I have to do, that's fine. Moshe Rabbeinu suspected his brother of being hurt that he wasn't given this job. Why did he suspect him? Because Aaron deserved to be suspected? No. Because God said, no, it's not true. Aaron will be happy, like Rebbe Zusha said. I have to be the Redeemer. As long as the Redeemer, I don't care if Moshe's doing it or I'm doing it. We're doing it for God's sake, not for our sake. So Aaron didn't have this problem. It says, Hachoshe Diksheirim Loki Begufo. If you suspect somebody wrongly, and he's innocent, then you get punished. Not because it's a punishment, but it means there's the following. If I see somebody do something suspicious, and he deserves to be suspected, then you know why I suspected him? He's the cause. he did something suspicious, and he was guilty. So he deserved to be suspected. And therefore, he motivated my suspicion. But if he's totally innocent, then why would I suspect him? You know why? Because I said to myself, you know what? If I would have done something like that, I probably would have done the thing that's wrong. So you know that you would have done it, something wrong with you. If Moshe Rabbeinu suspected Aaron of being hurt, if he was chosen, you know what Moshe said? If I would be the older brother, and he would be the younger brother, I'd be hurt, so I assume he'll be hurt. So something's wrong with Moshe Rabbeinu, because Aaron didn't have that. A Kohen is someone who can serve God out of total love, selfless, with no thought of himself. It makes a difference if it's me or Moshe. We're all soldiers. As long as there's somebody doing it, it's fine. It doesn't make a difference. I have to do it. I should benefit. I should get the carpet. But Moshe Rabbeinu felt that if the tables were turned, he'd feel bad, so he assumed that his brother would feel bad. God said, you can't be a Kohen anymore, Moshe, because you're not on the level of selflessness. You already feel yourself a little bit. But that was in the beginning of Moshe's career. He later corrected that when he said, blot my name out of the Torah. If there's no Jewish people, then there's no me. I have no ego. I am a total representative of you and the Jewish people, and if there's no Jewish people, I'm not here. I have no ego, no self. Selfless completely. God wanted to do Moshe Rabbeinu a favor, and he wanted the world to know that he corrected that original problem that he had of that little bit of ego that he had. He wasn't selfless. Parshas Tetzaveh is the parsha where the Kohanim are inducted. Moshe has to induct, consecrate his brother Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol, and he knows that he lost it. I could have been it, and Aaron is it. You would think that Moshe Rabbeinu would feel a little bad. I lost this covet, and Aaron gets it. The Torah tells us in this parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't exist as Moshe, just as Atah, you. He's faceless, selfless. When he made his brother Aaron Kohen Gadol, it didn't make a difference to him. As long as there's a Kohen Gadol, it has to be me, to be Aaron. And that shows us that Moshe Rabbeinu corrected his original fault. It wasn't a punishment for Moshe, it was a reward. That the whole world knows that when Moshe had to, make Aaron the Kohen, he was just another you. He didn't feel that it's Aaron and not Moshe. There's no Moshe. There's just another you. What difference does it make if it's this you that's the Kohen Gadol or this you? We're all just a bunch of soldiers in God's army. Okay, now, the Haftorah starts out with the following. Atah ben Adam. God refers to Yecheskel HaNavi as you, son of man. Doesn't sound too endearing. It's just another human being. You. Same thing as the Torah reading. The Atah. The real connection between the Haftorah and the Parsha is the fact that the end of the Haftorah speaks about the consecration of the Kohanim in the time of the third Beis HaMikdash in the future. That's usually seen as the connection. But there's another connection. It's just like the Parsha starts with Atah Tetzaveh, the Haftorah starts with Atah Ben Adam, you. It doesn't call the prophet by name. Why? Because when you deal with the Mishkan, with the Mikdash, with Kohanim, you have to be selfless. You're just another you. You're not Yecheskel, you're Atah, you, another human being. All human beings are the same, and that's what it says. Teach the Jewish people the plan of the Mikdash, the new Mikdash. Teach them the plan. Show them that everything fits into God's plan. Everything has its place, and human beings are the same way. And that way, they'll be embarrassed because of their sins. Why? A Jew has to feel, I'm part of God's plan. I'm not me. It's not for my sake. I have to serve the Rabbanu Shel Olam. It's for me, ultimately. But basically, I have to be selfless. I have to be just like there's an Aaron, and there's a menorah, and there's a shulchan, there has to be a Kohen, there has to be a me too. I have to be part of that plan. And if I'm not part of the plan, if I'm doing something that's ego, that's for me, especially if it's wrong, right, then I'm not part of that plan, I have to feel embarrassed. So by teaching them the plan of the Mishkan, showing them that everything has its place in this world, and you also have your place, and you're there because that's God's plan for the world, then you don't feel that ego, you feel selfless. You feel you're just part of that cosmic, universal plan that's represented by the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, in that respect, you're Atah ben Adam. You're just another you, another human being that fits in to God's plan. And that's what brings the embarrassment, it says, of doing sins. How can I not, if everything in this world has to fit into God's plan, then how can I not fit in? Everything else is doing their part. The animals, the birds, the Beis HaMikdash, and every part of the Beis HaMikdash, and I'm not, I'm doing what's good for me. And that's why Parshas Tetzaveh starts with the lighting of the menorah. Don't think you're doing God any favors by lighting the menorah. But the menorah represents the fact that God's presence is amongst you. That He's the one who makes the plan, and you're part of His army. And it's ultimately for your benefit. But don't do it because you're doing it for your benefit. Doing it because you're part of that cosmic universal plan of the universe that you have to be a part of. And in that respect, you're just an atah. You're just another you. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu felt himself just to be another you in the fulfillment of God's plan in the world, and therefore it didn't make a difference if he was doing what Aaron did or Aaron was doing what Aaron did, as long as he's doing his part. Right? Selflessly, that's what counts. So the parsha is atah, and the haftorah is atah. You're just another human being. Moshe is just another Jew. And each one doing their part, not thinking that I have to do somebody else's part because it gives me more covet. And therefore not feeling bad if somebody else does what they have to do, I do what I have to do. That's the connection between the parsha and the set. And that's what Avoda is selfless, total subjugation to the Rav Amishal. Okay.